The following is a production of the People of Mars Hill. For more information, visit pomh.org.
Good morning. Well, welcome to Mars Hill. If you are visiting, this is a little different than what we typically do. We usually study straight through a book of the Bible, going verse by verse, spend a lot of time there. We have finished the book of James, going into Malachi, starting the Sunday after Labor Day. So in the between time, what we've done is taken the opportunity to teach through why we do what we do. For the last 4 weeks, we've been on a journey through some of the foundational topics to understand what is behind the whole process of what we believe church is, how we believe church should operate. And that's not to say that we're good at any of these things at all, but it's our intentionality. So the first week we talked about biblical teaching. If you remember, if you were here for that, we talked about how the scripture is what informs everything that we do. So if we have a decision to make and go, what are we going to do as a church? The first place we have to go is go back to scripture and say, what does scripture say? What is the foundation that it creates for us? What's the mandate that it gives? What are the commands that we are to be following? And so scripture is foundational. It informs everything else. So that's the first one. The second week, we talked about family ministry. Now, in family ministry, we talked about how the family was a good remnant of the good creation. So even though families aren't perfect, it is like this bastion that God allowed to exist and to continue into perpetuity throughout this temporal nature or this temporal experience that we have. We continue to have families. Why? Because it was through even that fallen state that he said to the woman, through your seed, one will come who will crush the head of the serpent. So we remember very clearly that it was through a family that God promised to bring a savior. And that really becomes the theme throughout the Old Testament, is this family that becomes a large tribe, that becomes 12 tribes, that becomes a nation. And it's all centered on that bloodline and then that promise of how that Messiah was going to come through one of those, through that specific bloodline, through one of those specific tribes. But then when you get to the New Testament, we talked about in the third week, authentic community. What we find is that God promised to bring a savior through a family. And then when that savior came through the person of Jesus Christ, he brought a family through the savior. Whereas the first family was blood-oriented and Jesus came through that bloodline, at the end of it, what we find is Jesus talks about this adoption that God is going to bring us all from every nation, from every race, from every tribe, from every tongue, that God's family would be made up as a constituent from all these different representations. And that it's going to be a work of God and he was going to do this. And so the whole New Testament focuses on how that's possible through the person of Jesus Christ. But that's the big story. God promised through a family to bring a Messiah, and through that Messiah, he adopts us into his family. And that's the authentic community that we experience here. So even though our church is made up with little bitty expressions of your family, many of you are sitting with your family today, whether it's a spouse or maybe even your children are here. But many of you may not be. Maybe you are here by yourself. Maybe you are the only believer in your family. Or maybe you just moved far away. Maybe you're in college and you're here away from where your family lives and you're here alone. But the truth of what the New Testament teaches us is that you're not alone. This is your forever family. And we will spend eternity together as brothers and sisters in Christ because this is God's forever family. So the church is made up of both. There is the nucleus of the family, the good remnant of the good creation. But then there's also this new family that we are brought into under the umbrella of Christ. The next week, what we talked about was our intentionality in that life discipleship. You remember last week, we talked about the 7 miles. Now, the 7 milestones are just recognizing that there are these developmental patterns that we find in children as they are born, they grow, they begin to speak, they move from this concrete thinking to abstract thinking, they grow, their bodies change, all of a sudden things begin to transition for them in culture. And so all of these things, we know they happen, we know they're coming. So the 7 milestones are basically saying, you know what, we know these are coming, so let's be intentional about discipling them, preparing them for those things. And then we talked about how the church as a whole, maybe you don't have a family. Maybe you don't have kids yet. Maybe you're married, but you don't have kids yet. Maybe you're single. Maybe your grandparents and all of your kids have moved out and you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. But we showed how it does because collectively, as we are a forever family, we have a responsibility to each other. So it's the church coming alongside the families to raise up a generation of believers, a generation of faith so that they are pointed in the right direction, so the word of God continues to be taught, and so that the word of God continues to go forth to those who have never heard it. And so we want to be intentional within the community of Christ to say, all right, there are these seven milestones. Let's focus on them. Let's be prepared for them, because there are these growth patterns that we recognize in humanity. Today, what we want to do is wrap up this issue by looking at how it all comes together. You see, these last 4 weeks have all been about the inner workings of the church and how we strive to be a healthy church, even though we don't always get that perfect. You know, we don't get that perfect, but we strive. We say, this is the bar. We're always going to be pushing for this. We're going to try and achieve this. We're going to keep this as the goal that we are trying to reach, to get to. So this week, what we want to do is look at how once we have the standard of healthiness within the congregation set for us, and we start moving towards that, how do we keep from being only inward focused and we begin to think outside the church? That we don't forget about the community and the culture that we live in. So there is both this inward focus and this outward focus that Scripture calls us to. And that is what we are calling today, and we're going to talk about church planting. Now, you probably sit there and think, the last thing Mobile needs is another church. And I would agree with you on that from certain perspectives. But I'm going to present a perspective today that I really believe that God has led us to from the very beginning, from when Mars Hill started. And today, we are dreaming about what that will look like as we move forward. So bear with me as we walk through this, but I want you to keep an open mind as we walk through some of these perspectives that both come from Scripture, that come from what we would all know to be true, and you're going to see how it all fits together. But before we do that, let's start with a couple of definitions. First of all, here's a definition that comes from the dictionary about what church planting is. It says it's the practice of establishing a core of Christian worshipers in a parish with the intention that they should develop into a thriving congregation. So think about that for a moment. Think about that definition. This is from the dictionary, but the dictionary gets a lot of things right here. Number one, it says it is a practice. Okay, so it's something that we are committed to. We are working. We are a work in progress. And it's a work in progress of establishing a core of Christian worshipers. What is that? That's a community. There is a core that comes together and they have this same purpose in mind. And they say, this is what we want to see happen. And they have intentionality too. Just like we talk about life discipleship, they have this intentionality about discipleship. They have an intention that they should develop into a thriving congregation. What does it mean to be thriving, but to be healthy and to be growing? Now listen, the goal of church is not to grow numerically, it's to grow spiritually. But as you grow spiritually, you should expect that you will grow numerically as well. Maybe not massively, but if we are growing spiritually, it means we are sharing the gospel in the places that God has given us influence. And as we share the gospel, we hope that God would allow us to be a part of Him transforming someone else. That our story somehow will be a part of their story as well, and that they would come into this forever family with us. So when we talk about thriving, we're not talking about that core group coming together, building their own little church and saying, you know what, we don't want anybody else in here. We've got this perfect. We like each other. We're going to stay just like this. No, the thriving aspect means that they are looking outside themselves to see that church grow both spiritually and numerically, because we want to see more people come into the kingdom of God. So there is this core, there is this area, and there is this intentionality that is necessarily evangelistic in nature. Let me give you another perspective. This comes from a theological perspective. This is a definition. Church planting is about bringing to birth. I like that. It's a picture of life. By the work of God's Spirit, so it's something He's doing, not something in our own power, worshiping congregations. So congregations that are focused on something that is bigger than them. So they're worshiping something, and in a healthy context, they are worshiping God, not worshiping a man, not worshiping the name of the church, not worshiping that their church is better than other church, but worshiping the exalted Christ that's risen and coming again. Amen? So if that is the healthy perspective, then we put these two together, we see that there is this beginning that God creates, and there is this work of the Spirit that God initiates and God oversees. And as God works, people are drawn together, and they're drawn together under the umbrella of Christ, and they want to thrive for the name of Christ in the community that they live in. Do you see this? So, if we understand that from that perspective, we can really never say that an area doesn't need another church. Because our mentality from the West is that, you know what? One church is enough. One church is plenty. Well, I mean, where in the world are we all going to meet? What building are we going to meet in? Oh, we're just going to meet on the internet. That's not assembling yourselves together. See, so when we begin to understand from a scriptural point of view what church isn't really what we have begun to think about it from our Western mindset, which is large and numerous, and that's a healthy church. Actually, a healthy church is a community where people are able to get to know more people. And so I'm not saying that huge churches can't still be, you know, interconnected and people can find community in that. But the bigger it gets, the harder it gets is my perspective. So that's what necessitates more churches. So let's get into this a little bit more. It's not about the name of the church. It's not about our glory. Matter of fact, as we want to plant more churches in the future, the one thing that we've talked about as elders, and again, as the leadership of the church, elders of the church, the staff members, all of us have been talking about this for a very long time. We've been planning for this. We're talking about what would it look like. And some of the conclusions that we've come to, I'm going to share throughout this message today. But one of the things is that we don't want to spread the name of Mars Hill. So every time we start a church, we're not going to call it Mars Hill. We do have two campuses of this one church. Now, the intentionality behind that is that Mobile has a campus, and we know it's the best one, right? And then the Fairhope campus, there's one over there. The reason that we have those two campuses is that we would be intentional about planting churches. They on the east side of the bay, and this campus on the west side of the bay. But these two churches or two campuses would work together as one church with the idea of planting more churches that are not campuses, but will be autonomous, independent churches that we oversee their birth process, their growth process, but then we turn it over to them to continue to grow. Okay, do you see that? I want you to keep that in your mind because that's going to play a part in where we're going with this. And that brings me to a couple of quotes I want to give to you that have been helpful for me as I've worked through this process. First of all, is that to plant a church means, number one, that you are a missional church and that you want to plant more missional churches. What do I mean by a missional church? Well, being missional means moving intentionally beyond our church preferences, making missional decisions rather than preferential decisions. Hey, the easiest thing to do is just to kind of keep moving here and ignore the fact that it gets crowded sometimes. And you know what? That we just build up instead of out, right? We'll go to a second floor, then a third floor, and then a fourth floor. And one of the places I went to seminary, there was a church there that has 8 floors. Is this huge building. They have 8 different floors. I was like, goodness, I can't imagine, you know, somebody coming in and going, where do I go? Oh, you're going to go to the 8th floor. You're going to go down the hallway. It's going to be the 8th door on the right. You walk through there, there'll be another hallway. I mean, I can just imagine trying to work through that as a visitor. So here's the thing. When we understand that being missional means moving with intentionality, it's almost the same framework that we were talking about last week with the 7 milestones. In other words, we recognize, listen to me and follow me on this, 7 milestones say, look, we see these growth patterns within these kids, and we know that they begin to think and do things differently at this point, so let's prepare for them and be intentional about it. Church planning is no different. The church is an organism. It's not an organization. Organisms grow. If it's healthy, it's going to grow. And you know what? Another thing we know is if it's healthy, it reproduces. We go all the way back to Genesis. What does he say? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what's the first command that God gives to them? Be fruitful and multiply. Because healthy things grow and healthy things reproduce. We know it in all levels of biology. We know it from plants, from animals, and we know it from a human perspective as well. So if we're going to be intentional about that kind of growth within the context of family, shouldn't we be intentional about that within the context of our church family? Think about this for a moment. Some people will disagree with me on this, but I think I can substantiate this claim. Churches have growth patterns just like humans do. They're birthed, they grow to a level of influence, and then they die. Now, the church as a whole, the bride of Christ, will never die. Okay, she keeps going on. One day, Jesus is going to come back for his bride. But what I'm talking about is these local expressions. You think about it. In the book of Revelation, it talks to seven churches. None of those churches are in existence today. When you look at the book of Acts and Paul's letters, it talks about all these churches that he had started. None of them are in existence today. And I would venture to say that some of you have been a part of churches that, for whatever reason, they're no longer in existence today. You know why? Because churches are organisms. They are born, they live a life, and they die. And here's the sad reality that we all have to come to. We're all going to die one day, right? But guess what? Mars Hill's going to die one day. Now, there's churches, sure, that have been around for 100 years, but I guarantee you that if you go and study them, the church congregation itself died at some point, and there was a new birth within that same building. But the church grew, it thrived, it declined, it died, and something was born within it as well. Do you see where I'm talking about? So if churches follow that same pattern, I would argue that we need to be intentional while we're thriving to reproduce and to have a legacy that we leave behind. You know, the thing about it is Paul planted all those churches and none are in existence, but do you think Paul has a legacy today? Absolutely, because those people were intentional about taking the gospel with them. And for whatever reason, those churches don't exist, but the church does exist today, and it's powerful, and it's still operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's still going forth to the nations. I mean, there's been so many efforts to stop the church, to put out its flame, but it's never been successful. And a matter of fact, the more you try to put it out, the more it thrives. Why? Because this is a God thing, not a human thing. But at the same time, we must come to the understanding that Mars Hill will not always be an effective church in this culture. So we have to recognize these growth patterns. We have gotten to the point where now we are a significant church in the sense that we're a medium size. We have a lot of people here that have a lot of potential. We have people that are coming in from the University of Mobile, some that have graduated. We have pastors that have come here from other churches that are not pastoring right now, but they're here in this congregation. And so we have to say, look, we're in this place at this time. We must be intentional about replicating ourselves and doing the best that we can, so that we have a legacy when one day we hand the keys over to someone else and say, it's been a great ride, but we're done. And I know that's kind of somber and probably not the best church planning message you've ever heard, where you're trying to rally the troops. You're going to die one day. You better hurry up and plant some churches. No, but I hope you see what I'm trying to tell you is it's biblical. And not only is it biblical, it's biological. We understand these things. Therefore, if we are going to be intentional about it from a perspective of family, we should be intentional about it from the perspective of church as well. The one thing that we say is we leave our legacy through our kids. My dad last week, I'm going to share this a little more in depth because he's not here. He was here at the early service. But last week we talked about the milestones and I shared some of the things that I deal with my child. And he sent me a text afterwards, and he said, you're doing a really good job. I wish I was as good a dad as you are. And I responded back to him. I said, Dad, you allowed me to stand on your shoulders and to reach where you never could, and it's just my goal that I do the same thing for my kids that you did for me. And that is the picture of it, you see? I mean, it's not that I'm a better dad than my dad is, but I hope that I understand more than he did. I hope that I've been able to reach further. Why? Because he allowed me. He made sacrifices so that I could stand on his shoulders and be able to reach further than he ever could. And as a church, if that's true with us within the family, do you see how that's true within the church? So we have these opportunities to allow people to climb on our shoulders while we're strong and say, let's push them forward. Let's send them out. Let's help them get started so that one day when we finish our ride in this life and this journey, another reason that we don't own property, I mean, many of you know we don't own this building. We lease this building. We don't own the other campus building. We lease it. And the reason we do that is really rooted in what I just told you is I've seen church after church, the only reason they continue to exist is because they own property. I mean, how many of you ever seen that old congregation where the youth ministry starts at 80? You know what I'm saying? And their whole existence is to make sure they take care of the building. I mean, they meet on the weekends to cut the grass, and they have parties to get together to paint it. They feel this responsibility, and I can appreciate that because it is their way of honoring God and what God did in that building. But at the same time, wouldn't it have been awesome if once we can't pay the bill anymore, we go, well, it's been a fun ride. Here are the keys. And we, our legacy is in what we've reproduced through those years. Do you see that? So there's no fighting. There's no lingering. We recognize what's happening around us and we move forward with that. So that's from that perspective. I hope you understand biologically, discipleship. When we understand families, we understand churches. The church isn't an organism. I mean, the church is an organism. It's not an organization, but it is an organism that needs organization. Are you following me on that? How many of you need to create organization for your kids? Can I get an amen? Yeah. We talked last week about the 7 milestones. Is that not organization to say, let's be intentional? Guess what? The church needs organization as well. If not, it'll grow squirrely really fast. So we need some leadership that's overseeing it. Leadership that's saying, hey, let's be intentional. Leadership that's praying through and listening to the Holy Spirit saying, what are we to do next? But not only that, there is a perspective that comes from Scripture as well. Let me share a couple of passages with you. Again, we usually go in depth with the Scripture and we go deep with it. But today, I wanted you to hear my heart about why we intend to be a church that plants other churches. And I want to show you that it's also grounded in Scripture. Matthew chapter 25. This is known as the Great Commission. I told you to turn there earlier, so if you have your copy of Scripture, you can follow along with me. It begins in verse 18. Now remember, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's appeared to the disciples, and now, man, they have this great faith, and all of a sudden he tells them that he's leaving. And they're like, what? I mean, think about the emotional roller coaster they've been on for a while. And now he says, I am leaving, and I've got to leave because there's another that I'm going to send. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So in other words, Jesus isn't going to walk and just model this faith for us anymore. He's going to walk inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the ability to live this life that we never could on our own. But as he's going, he tells them what they're supposed to do. We call this the Great Commission because he commissions them. Look at what he says, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of, what does it say? All nations, not just the Jews. Now remember, Jesus' ministry was for the Jews first, but now he's opening this up wider than they ever thought it would be. This is for all the nations, all the different races, all the languages. I want you to take this to them. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So the first thing he says is to go. He doesn't say, hey, we've got this thing started, so here we are in Jerusalem, so y'all just build a really big building and we'll invite the nations to come here. No, instead he says, I want you to go to the nations. I want you to go to where the lost are. I want you to go to where the people who need to hear this message are. You go to them. And so he says, go. But as you go, teach this. And as you teach this, the Holy Spirit is going to strangely warm their heart to what you're teaching. And they're going to become followers of mine through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they become followers, baptize them into what? Into the community, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We could spend a lot of time, but that is the community of God. There's one God, three persons, lives in perfect community within himself. So the church is to be an expression of that. So we are baptized into the community of. So in other words, that's that authentic community that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So you're baptized into this community in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I want you to see very clearly verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now that word all literally means all. And I'm not taking away from him saying, you know, all the things I taught on the hillside and the things we taught when we were walking along the way and the things that we talked about in those difficult times. But I also want to emphasize that you can't take it out of the context that he just said. I want you to go into all the nations, and I want you to make disciples, and I want you to baptize them in a community, and then I want you to teach them to do what I just told you to do. Do you see that? That's why he follows it in that pattern. So part of church is expecting that one day there are going to be people who leave this place and they will go and start another expression. Hopefully not because they're mad. Hopefully because it's intentional on our part. Hopefully because it's a healthy journey of what we should do as we grow and thrive as a community of believers. That we are teaching others that they in turn should go and to reach them just like they've been reached. Let's look at what Romans chapter 15 says. So we see the cyclical nature of this discipleship and this going and this making disciples and this baptizing them. And then we teach them to go and do the same thing. Romans 15 verse 14 is where I want to begin. I just want to read this. It's kind of a lengthy passage. It's several verses, about six, seven verses. But I want you to hear Paul's heart in this, okay? This is as he is called and he's very motivated for the church and the gospel of Christ going forth. Listen to what he says. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge and able to instruct one another. So there's beautiful community. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about what God's called him to do. Then he says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. So this is the work of the Spirit, not the work of Paul, but he's very proud, excited of what the Spirit has done through him. And he says that Christ has accomplished this through me to bring to the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, so that's where it started, all the way around to I said it perfect in the first service, but it always throws me off when you have all of those consonants together, right? So say it for me. Illyricum. I said it perfect in the first. I promise. Go back and look at the video. Didn't I, Mark? Mark Powell heard me. I said it perfect. Illyricum. That's right. So I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So think about this. He's been called to this certain area, and he says from Jerusalem all the way down to Illyricum that I have been faithful and I have delivered. I've done what I've been called to do. Now, is everybody in that place a Christian? No. But he knows he's done what he's supposed to do. What did he do? He planted churches. It's almost like he knows that I've done my part and now it's the Holy Spirit. What he did through me, he's going to continue to do through others and the gospel's going to continue to go. Listen to how he finishes this. I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 20. And thus I make it my, what's the word? Ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Do you hear his passion in that? I mean, what does he mean that he doesn't want to build on another man's foundation? Well, it doesn't mean that we can't raise up leaders that will eventually take the place. Paul's talking about his calling, his passion. But he also says, if I'm hearing him right, there is this temptation that we have to just protect what's ours and to forget about what's outside of us. And he's saying that we can never lose that passion of the gospel that first called us out of our darkness into the light. And once we get into that light, we cannot become so light focused that we forget about those that are still in the darkness. We don't want to just keep building on another man's foundation. We want to keep sending out those who will go into the darkness and call them into the community of light. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Flip over towards the end of your New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's verse 1 and 2. People often wonder, why do we have a dual teacher system, even sometimes three teachers that you'll hear from time to time? Why do y'all do that? That's so weird. Nobody else we know of does that. You know, I get used to one of you, and I like one of you better than the others. We're not going to name who that is, but I mean, like one of y'all, just kidding. I was inferring that that's me, by the way, in case you missed that. But the whole thing is that we are developing leaders that can then go out and lead other churches. Okay. So it's not that we just want, I think a lot of y'all think that I have the best job in the world, which I do think a lot of times, but y'all think for different reasons, because y'all think that I have every other Sunday off. Y'all are like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Look at him. He's developed a whole system where he only has to preach every other week. You don't realize I preach every Sunday, okay? I'm just somewhere else. I'm at the other campus, and I'm back at this campus and the other campus and back at this campus. And let me tell you something. Every week, every Tuesday, we go through this passage together. And so I have to have already read the passage and studied the passage. And sometimes I'm doing it that morning cramming for a final exam because we're all going to talk about this in a moment. It would be way easier if I just did this myself. It would be way easier if I just said, you know what, I'm going to be the pastor of this church and forget everything else. It would be way easier for me, and it would probably be easier for you as well. But the gospel and the kingdom of God's not always easy. And developing leaders isn't always easy. And so we have to do the hard things to be faithful to what the scripture calls us to do. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, in other words, he's spoken into Timothy's life, you entrust that to faithful men. So you become me to those men and you speak it into their life. So what? They are also, look at the last part of that, who will be able to teach others as well. And so this is generational discipleship, raising up leaders that can then go to the next generation and begin to teach this to the next generation. I love this because this is a picture of what we are called to be as the people of God. Church planning has to be at the heart of what church really is. It has to be a core principle. It can't be an afterthought. It has to be intentional. It has to be grounded in scripture. All of those things we're talking about. And so I say all of that today to tell you that this is something that we've been in the process of for a long time. And I want to ask Ryan to come up here. Many of you have heard Ryan teach. Ryan is one of the young men. He was a baseball player on the University of Mobile baseball team when I first met him. And from that point on, our paths continued to cross. He stayed in Mobile after graduating from there, even though he's from Florida. And he eventually found himself on staff here. He ran our cafe for a long time, did a wonderful job with that. And then through a process of our elders praying and our staff leadership, we saw the hand of God on Ryan's life. So he came on in a full-time position, and we have been investing in him, pouring into him. And then just recently, you've begun to hear him teach here from the pulpit. We're giving him that opportunity to grow as well because we have identified that Ryan is going to be one of our church planters. He's going to go out, and he's going to start a church. So what I want to do is end our time by hearing the heart of someone who's been a part of this, who's heard this over and over again, and has really been the focal point of our elders and our staff as saying, we believe this man is called, and we believe that he is called to go and start a church. So I want to finish our time just hearing from you for a moment. Number one, you have a seminary degree, so it's not like you just came out of the University of Mobile and that was the end of your education. You went on, you got your master's degree from America?
Midwestern.
I always get those confused. Midwestern, you have your MDiv from there. So a guy like you who has a degree and you have a history of working in a church, you could walk into some other church. You could probably walk into a decent sized church. So why do you feel like God has called you to something as difficult as going out and starting something from scratch?
Yeah, so great question. I think as I've looked over my life, there have been opportunities to go elsewhere. And exactly what you said, but it's always been one of those things that my wife and I have prayed through, and we've just felt led and felt called to be here. And so what we want to do, my wife and I, is we want to be obedient to where the Lord leads us, whatever that looks like. And so as we've began to pray, we feel like that's church planting. Church planting has always been something I've been interested in. As I look back on my life, I've always enjoyed being involved with starting things, so whether that be community groups or youth groups or whatever it may be, I've enjoyed that aspect and found joy in being involved in that. And so this is an opportunity that has arose, and I'll say this, as I've begun to do research on church planning, I've noticed that some churches are birthed out of a disagreement or a frustration or bitterness, somebody saying, I'm frustrated with what's going on, and so therefore I'm going to go and do things better. And that, I can honestly say, is not the case here. I love Mars Hill. I love my job. I love the people I work with. I love this congregation. And so this is a bittersweet moment of, okay, we're pursuing this. But the blaring reality is we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave brothers and sisters that we love and a church that we love. And so this isn't something, okay, we're leaving, we're fed up, and we're wanting to do something better. This is we're legitimately looking at the Great Commission, we're called to go, and so we want to be obedient to that. And so with all the fears and anxieties that are presented with church planting, I think the Great Commission also comforts you. So Jesus says, go, make disciples, command. But then at the end, he says, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. And so when fear creeps in, which is very often, of what if it doesn't work? What if you're rejected? What if all of these things creep in your mind? And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so there's great comfort in being obedient to the Lord's leading to go and make disciples because you're not doing it alone.
That's exactly right. I think back to when I started Morris Hill 15 years ago now, and I went through all of those different feelings. I was shared with an earlier congregation that the thing I struggle with the most in life and continue to today is depression, mild depression, not deep, deep, where, you know, I just kind of lay on the couch for days on end in kind of a dark state. But I suffer from that when things are going good, not when they're going bad, which is weird. And a lot of people don't understand that, but it's when things are going well that I'm like overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't handle this. And God has to quietly remind me, you didn't get it this far. Hey, I did. And if you just stay out of my way, I will take care of this and I'll bring you along for the ride. And it's those moments that I'm reminded that it's not us, that it's him, and he's teaching us and he's bringing us through that moment. So I believe that you are divinely called in the sense that we've prayed through that. We have actually commissioned you as a church and ordained you as a minister. So we know that you are called of God. We truly believe that. You are called to church plant. That's something that you just said that you are convinced of. Now, when I first started talking to him, I started naming areas and I was like, that's where you need to go. I mean, that's where it's growing. There's neighborhoods going up all over the place. That would be a great place. And he was like, And finally, I was like, where do you feel compelled to go? And his answer was a little bit stunning to me. But here's the thing. You don't want to call people and just send them if they're not passionate about going there. So part of the passion is a burden that God's given you for a specific area and a specific ministry. So tell them what we have talked about. Again, we're not starting this next week. We're not starting this necessarily next year. We have to have the funds to do it. We have to identify the location. We as elders and leaders of the church have to come together and agree, okay, this is the time. This is the time for it to happen. So that all hasn't come to place yet, but this is the fruition of that. It's coming, culminating to this. What area has God given you a burden for?
Yeah, so downtown Midtown Mobile is where I have a burden for. So I got here in Mobile in 2011. So I transferred from a junior college to the University of Mobile. And so in 2011, I'm a junior living on campus with some of my brothers. And so we, not literal brothers, but brothers in Christ. And we're going through a Bible study by Timothy Keller, Gospel and Life. And so on week 6, we were called and commissioned to go and do some type of service project in the area. And so we had the grand idea that we would go into downtown and find somebody who was hungry and need of food, and we were going to take him out to eat. And so we met a guy. His name was Snake, biggest con artist I've ever met in my life. Grown to love this brother, good friend of ours. So what we started doing is we just started going every Friday night and beginning to build relationships with a lot of people in the downtown area. And so, man, like I remember the first time I stepped foot out of the car into downtown, I just felt this overwhelming sense of spiritual darkness, I guess, so to speak. And so that burdened me in that if I truly believe Jesus is the light of the world and he dwells within me, then I should want to go towards dark places. And so that all of that started birthing back in 2011, and then over the years just developed a love for that area and the people there. And then as we've began to have community groups in the area and having friends there, I've just grown a deeper love and appreciation for the downtown Midtown area because it really is a beautiful place. So you look at that area, it's so diverse in terms of socially, in terms of demographics, it's just a diverse area. So you have on one street, $2 million houses, and then two streets down, $20,000 houses. It's just such a diverse area of people living literally next door to one another, so different from one another, but living completely different lives. And so this idea, this vision of how beautiful would it be to have a church in that area that's diverse yet united in Christ, investing in, pouring into a community that's diverse yet separated. And so that all just kind of a culmination out of this love for the area. And the more you get to know it, it truly is a beautiful place. And so that's a burden of ours and something that we would love to pursue.
I think that's awesome. And the picture here is that many of you will join him in that. And that's weird for a church to say, we want to send some of our members away. Now, if we could select which ones, that would be awesome. I'm just kidding. We love all of you. We all want you. But you understand, you know, it's a lot of times people struggle with, we're going to send people out. But that's intentional. You have kids, and I'll be honest with you, I got little kids right now, and I would love for them to stay with me the rest of their lives, but I just had one turn a teenager. So I'm starting to understand why you want them to leave eventually. And so, but that is a healthy thing. We want to see them go and thrive. And so that's part of our intentionality with that as well. And so with that, obviously, we would love to see people who are called to that same thing. Matter of fact, I think in churches like this, if you've been here from the very beginning, you might be one of the ones that's getting frustrated with Mars Hill. You might sit there and go, you know what? I used to be so involved. Now I feel like I don't know anybody. And it might be that God has just designed you to be that small church going out there, man, just tackling a new idea and a new mission and a new goal and a new obstacle, and that's the way God has wired you. And maybe this is the opportunity for you to renew that passion. I don't know what it is, but let's talk and finish with just saying, what are some ways that we have talked about that you envision as well that our church, this body of believers, both East and West, can partner to send you out? What does that look like as it begins to happen?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, prayer. So, you know, praying for wisdom. There's so much that goes into this process logistically that we need wisdom on how to navigate. So if you're sending out community group leaders, you're sending out church leaders, that creates holes. And so how do we not let this campus suffer at the expense of the church plant? So there's just a ton of wisdom and logistics that we need. And so pray for wisdom. Pray for those in the area that we're going. Pray for the unchurched there. Pray that the Lord is working on them already and that we will be a light in that area. Pray about going. So maybe the Lord is placing on your heart, this is something that you would be interested in being involved in. So pray, honestly, legitimately pray, Lord, is this something you're calling us to do, you and your family? Pray for those who are going, who have felt led, who have committed. Pray for them that the Lord uses them. Consider giving. Potentially, maybe you feel led to give to this. You don't feel led to go, but you would like to give above and beyond. So prayerfully consider that.
And just to kind of clarify that, it is us who will oversee it for a time. And so your giving would still be through Mars Hill, and we would oversee the finances for them to happen. And then the goal is that over like a 3-year period or whatever we determine that they become self-sufficient and they stand on their own and then they become their own entity. So, you know, it's not like you're giving to a whole nother organization. It's still something that's birthed out of this congregation. Sorry to throw you off.
Rude. No, that's good. And then a blaring need that you'll have in church planning is, where are you going to meet? And so maybe some of you in here know of a place that would be a great place for a church to start, or maybe you own a building or you know somebody who does, and you'd be open to working out some type of agreement with us in that. So something to prayerfully consider or think through as we pursue that. And then lastly, roll up your sleeves and get ready to work, because church planting is a difficult endeavor. It's going to require a lot of hard work, but not just for the church plant. Yes, that's going to take hard work for those who go, but it's also going to be hard work for those who stay. And so in order for this to work out and be done well, it's going to take a collective body to pull this off. Because as we go, as we send families, there's going to be holes that need to be filled here. And so if those holes aren't filled, then this body of believers is going to suffer. And we want both to flourish and both be healthy. And so last but not least, get ready to work. And so this is going to take all of us to be on board and to pull off.
I hope that you hear this as an exciting opportunity that we have as a church. And I hope that you understand that it's a biblical. This is not about spreading the name of Mars Hill all over the place. Like I said, it's not our intention that they would take the name. They would pick whatever name they wanted to use, whatever area they are. We have two campuses that we want to be intentional about planting to the east and planting to the west. And so there's going to be more opportunities for this as we move forward. But this is about being biblical and about being faithful to the kingdom of God and being faithful to the next generation. We have inherited something great from those who've gone before us, and we have a responsibility to hand that off and continue that process. And so we want to be intentional about that discipleship within our families, within our church, and within our community. Both, I think it's beautiful because we didn't plan this, but here we're talking about planning a church, and then we have Dayon, who has got up here on the same Sunday, which we didn't plan that, but he's talking about this same thing on the other side of the world. And so it's about going out across the street and going out across the other side of the world. What a beautiful picture of what the community of Christ is supposed to be. So let's pray together. Let's pray for leadership within our church to make these decisions, to figure out how this is gonna happen, all the logistics. Let's pray for Ryan as he and his family prepare whenever God leaves and gives the opportunity to step out. And let's pray for you as you will be a part of it, whether it's in prayer or whether it's in participation or whether it's in giving. There's going to be opportunities for you to be a part of this first initial church birthed out of this one. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for Ryan. Thank you of how you have providentially prepared him for this time. Lord, all of that has been invested in him by so many different people, and now we are ready to send him out at your initiation. Lord, when you say it's time to go, Lord, we are ready to send him, and we just ask that you go before us, that you provide the finances that we need, that you provide the space that we need. And Lord, you have given so much direction so far. We know you're going to be faithful to take us through to the end of that. And Lord, it's in your timing, and we give that to you. But Lord, we just pray in the meantime that you would prepare our hearts for what that would look like, that you would take care of all the logistics of that, that you would prepare Ryan and Kayla for what they're going to do for their family and for their future family as it continues to grow. God, I just pray that all different aspects of this, Lord, Holy Spirit, empower us, show us, enliven us, and help us to know with your divine wisdom what we are to do and when we are to do it. And thank you that you have brought us into your family. And Lord, may we be faithful to take this incredible gospel into the darkness so that more may be made aware of the fact that the gospel sets them free and that they can be a part of your forever family. And Lord, we have a responsibility to pass this torch on. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would continue to raise up people, individuals, that you would continue to use your church to equip them, and that we would be faithful to send them out. And we ask this in the precious and holy name of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.